Welcome to Inside Central Oregon, a weekly public affairs program from Horizon Broadcasting Group. The opinions expressed on this program are from our guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station.
Well, good morning. Dave Clemens here for Inside Central Oregon. And this week, I'm talking to my friend Lynn Ochita. She's here from the Humane Society of Central Oregon. And she does on several of our radio stations the Pet of the Week every week. And how does that go? Do you usually get those pets adopted out?
Oh, gosh. Being able to showcase on the airwaves an animal, and sometimes it's animals that we know that people are looking for, like kittens and puppies, but a lot of other times I'm going to talk about our long timers, and it really gives them the exposure. Sometimes it just gets to that right person and they'll come on in. One of my favorite ones was a rabbit adoption, and it was a great match for two kids. And you know, it's something that we alone as an organization can't do without the support of the radio stations.
I'm almost afraid to answer this question because I honestly have no idea what the answer is going to be. What happens if you just can't get a pet adopted out?
You know, if an animal's been in our shelter for a while and there's not, no one's really looking at them, no, like particularly with dogs or even cats, that nobody's wanting to have take them out, get to know them or anything like that, we'll actually start looking into other rescue groups. A lot of times just a change of area. Some breeds are more popular with other areas. And so sure, that's one of the options. Gosh, we've had a couple dogs at the shelter for around 6 months. So there's no time limits at the Humane Society of Central Oregon. We'll do what we can to get them adopted as quickly as possible. That's really our ultimate goal. And we're really fortunate. Our community usually shows up and is there for the animals in need.
So we just got through the 4th of July thing. A lot of animals get a little freaked out with the fireworks and such. And my understanding is you were telling me that it's the few days after July 4th that you guys get very popular. Right, because the animals hear a sound or something and they kind of freak out and they might run away.
Yeah, so the neighborhood fireworks starts kind of the before 4th of July strays, but the big powerful professional fireworks that all the cities do light off, and particularly Pilot Butte and being the largest one ever, definitely rattles those dogs. It's their natural instinct to be afraid of noises like that. And so a lot of times if they're not safe and secure, they do end up at the shelter. Nationally, July 5th is the third largest day or busiest day at the local shelters. And so
wait, which day is the third biggest?
For the 5th of July.
The 5th of July.
Yeah.
Well, now I got to ask you, what are the other two?
I knew you were going to do that.
What could be bigger than that?
I forgot what the days are. They're kind of related to holidays and
like maybe
people
Memorial
being at home.
Day and Labor Day camping,
yeah,
type
now
stuff.
Now I will talk about it at the next
pet of the week on, yeah, our radio stations.
Absolutely, yeah. One of for us, the week surrounding July 4th is definitely our busiest, and which is why we ran that adoption promotion, because we really just wanted to open up space not only for the Lapine fire potential strays, but also for keeping kennel space open so that dogs who are found, who've been afraid of the fireworks, can be brought in to be safely housed at our shelter. And then ideally, and actually it's been wonderful, people have been coming in and reclaiming their animals right away, which then frees up that space for the next,
yeah,
dog in need.
How many animals can you guys hold over there?
Gosh, we can take in about a total of, 40 dogs at one time. A lot of the dogs, some of them are there for weeks on safekeeping holds, maybe livestock cases. Sometimes people are in jail. Sometimes they're a safekeeping hold for somebody who's in a car accident and the animal needs to be housed safely. So there's, if you look on our website, people go, you don't have very many animals. Well, those are the animals that are ready for adoption at that moment in time. We have a lot of other dogs and cats that are at the shelter. And if you walk in, you're going to actually be able to see all of them. They're all in various stages of either getting ready for adoption or being held for a lot of other reasons. And they're not currently available for adoption.
Sure. You mentioned the Lapine fire. Did you end up with an influx there, or did that go okay?
Yeah, we had some strays come in from the wildfire. It's basically dogs that were found kind of wandering around in that area with no known owner. And they were reunited pretty quickly. We were very surprised, and that was amazing to have that happen because we were really concerned.
There's lots of little fires going on around the state right now. Right now, most of them are pretty small, at least at the time of recording this. And that's good news. But if you guys happen to get due to the fire thing, like a big bear with a hat and a shovel, call me. I think I know where he lives and where he's supposed to be.
Well, thank you for being, such a public service.
Just trying to help. Speaking of public service, let's talk about this heat. This is crazy. We're breaking records this year with the heat. And we got to think about our pets on that.
Yeah.
Now, with the pet parade, did you go to the pet parade?
I did.
Was it early enough that they were able to walk without burning their little feet?
You know,
because I was thinking, that's a bad idea to have a pet parade on the hottest day of the year.
Well, I kind of went down to monitor and then also to walk around and thank all our volunteers. We have 8 stations along the parade route providing fresh, cool water for the pets along that might be getting overheated. I was monitoring the ambient air temperature, and so it was about 76 degrees when the parade finished. But yes, like on Wall Street, it was definitely warm, especially if you're just kind of standing around and watching. I didn't see a lot of dogs dancing around. What I was most impressed with is that I did see a lot of dogs wearing dog booties, that there was a lot of alternative transportation, meaning that there was a lot of dogs in strollers and
wagons,
and little carts. And so that was really wonderful to see. I even saw some dogs in little backpacks. So they were getting them off of that hot asphalt. Our biggest concern is always the older dogs, the seniors, the overweight dogs, and sometimes even the double-coated dogs. Dogs can't cool themselves off as efficiently as we can. They cool themselves by panting and then a little bit of perspiration through their paws. So when they're walking on hot asphalt, they're breathing in that hot air. I mean, if you just lower yourself to a dog's level, especially smaller breeds, gosh, it's really hot. So they're panting to cool off, but they're breathing in hot air. So they can't. And so that's why it's really critical for people to be conscious of that. I wish there was an alternate, like if it's above, predicted 80 degrees or 85 degrees, then there's a 9 a.m. start to the, like, just a pretty clear cut,
sure.
Easily predicted earlier start time. But most of the people, I even saw people leaving the parade route as they thought were concerned about their animals. So kudos to the community who are participating in that parade. I think that, I think compared to 20 years ago, we really do care about the health and the safety of our animals.
Lynn, let's take a quick break, and then we've got more of Inside Central Oregon coming up.
You're listening to Inside Central Oregon, a weekly public affairs program from Horizon Broadcasting Group.